Hello, this is Joe Baker, founder of LiveOffensively.com, and you are listening to Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome to Do Not Keep Silent.
Speaking out the name of Jesus in action and word.
Encouraging and equipping.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves.
Do what it says. Do not keep silent.
Let's just go right into it. I want to read 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that does not occur even among pagans. A man has his wife, or has his father's wife, and you are proud. Shouldn't you rather have been filled with grief and have put out of your fellowship the man who did this? Even though I am not physically present, Paul writes, I am with you in spirit, and I have already passed judgment on the one who did this, just as if I were present. When you are assembled in the name of our Lord Jesus, and I am with you in spirit, and the power of our Lord Jesus is present, hand this man over to Satan, so that the sinful nature may be destroyed, and his spirit saved on the day of the Lord. Your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast works throughout the whole batch of dough? Get rid of the old yeast, that you may be a new batch without yeast, as you really are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with bread without yeast, the bread of sincerity and truth. I have written you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world. Ooh, pay attention there. He's not talking about the world, not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing you that you must not associate with anyone who calls himself a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or a slanderer, a drunkard or a swindler. With such a man or woman, do not even eat. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked man from among you. Ouch. Whoa. You know, we hear all the time, anybody here, do not judge. Lest you be judged. Anybody heard that before? Well, don't judge others. Come on, raise your hands. I know you have, okay? All seven of you. Great, okay? Okay, we've heard, do not judge. What does Jesus really say, though? He doesn't say, do not judge. Actually, he says that, but that isn't what he actually means. So let's go to Matthew 7, 1 through 5, to see what Jesus is really saying. Okay, this is going to blow your mind, because a lot of times, even as Christians, well, I shouldn't judge others. You do what you want. I can't judge you. Really, in Matthew 7 is where we find this. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says this. Now, we're going to read this in context. Let's read this of what Jesus really has to say. Now, most of this, I might give you one story today, but pretty much everything I'm going to give you today is out of Scripture. And I'm not just going, well, I like this one and this one fits. I'm not doing that. We're going to read it in context today, because this is such an important subject within the church, within the community, to actually love each other. This is so important. Matthew 7, starting verse 1. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Okay, great. Okay, well, we're done, right? No. What does it say? Here we go. See, and you're going to have to be careful, because the rest of this is tough. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Verse 3. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's or sister's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or sister, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's or sister's eye. Jesus is not telling us, don't judge in every and all circumstances. It's not what he's saying. These are not my words. Jesus is saying, okay, don't judge, because here's the deal. Whatever measure you're using to judge with, I'm going to do it to you too. I'm going to measure you with the same measurement you're using for others. So you better make sure that if you're, let's say you struggle with something, whatever that struggle is, let's say you have a lying tongue. Okay? And let's just say you like to make stories even grander than they really are. But you come upon someone who's a believer, believes in Jesus Christ, and they have a lying tongue. Now, right here, Jesus is saying, you better take care of your own plank in your eye before you address that person's struggle. Don't go, oh, well, hey, Joe, you got a lying tongue. You know, it says right here, and all the while, you got the same problem. If you will, I think we need to earn respect in order to be heard. What I mean is, show people that you are a person of integrity, a person of truth in this circumstance with lying. Show people through your actions that the Holy Spirit is actually working in you and through you. When that happens, here's what's cool. When you go address this person, let's say it's a lying tongue, let's say it's pornography, whatever it is, you go to, or let's say they want to make money in a way that is definitely iffy. Okay? When they start seeing the Holy Spirit working in and through you, they have to sit up and take notice and go, he's not lying, he's telling the truth. So when you come and talk to that person about their problem, they have to listen. That doesn't mean they have to do it. Because they have a little word, two words, called free will. They can obey God or not obey God. In James, it talks about don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. So if these people that you're addressing just want to stay hearers of the word and that's it, well, that's on their head. Now I'm going to get kind of personal. If you only want to be a hearer of God's word and not a doer of his word, there's a word here that Jesus calls people like you. You hypocrite. I'm sorry, those are Jesus' words, not mine. I would say I don't like talking about this, but I do. Might be a sick problem I have, I don't know. But the reason I like talking about this is because everybody, it is about striving for holiness. God is clear that we need to live holy lives, pleasing to him. Open up to Philippians 3 and let me show you what I'm talking about with that. Philippians 3, and we're going to start in verse 10. This is Paul writing. He says this, and I'd encourage you, as I read this, make this like your cry. Make this personal. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Okay, we're going to stop right there real quick. Okay, you see, this world used to be perfect. Then Adam and Eve sinned, and it fell. That's why we have death, disease, dying, thorns, thistles, these horrid storms that are going on. Okay, those aren't just nature. It's caused from the fall. It is totally because we sinned against God. Death? Why does that happen? Because we decided to hear God's voice and disobey. That is why. If we obeyed him every single time, nobody would die. Kind of wild. Verse 12. Not that I have already attained all this, or have already been made perfect. Okay, so he's, okay. That's great, because that means there's hope for us. He's not even perfect. This is Paul. I mean, this guy is pretty awesome. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. If you've been divorced, if you've been abused, if you have been a liar, if you, whatever you've been, that is behind. It's behind. Look forward and press on to the goal. Enough of the old life. Everybody, I am a walking dead man. I am. And if you have Jesus Christ in you and the Holy Spirit working in and through you, you are dead but alive. So let's take hold of it. Let's actually do what the Word of God says. Now, before some of you are probably sitting here thinking, because I get this all the time with a message like this, well, but Jason, there's grace and God forgives us. Yes, he does. Absolutely. But the problem is, a lot of Christians, and I'm just going to say it, a lot of Christians just go, well, I accepted Jesus into my heart, and he loves me so much, and he gives me grace, and I got this sin problem here, but really it's no big deal because he's going to forgive me anyway. Time out there. Yes, that is true. However, God wants us to stop being little infants. He wants us to stop being spiritual babies. He wants us to stop drinking formula, stop drinking and eating crushed up peas and beans and garbage. And he wants us to start eating awesome steaks spiritually and a great big baked potato with wonderful sour cream and butter on it, little chives on there. Now that's in the spiritual realm, so don't go out and just pig out on steak, okay? I love steak, but he wants us to actually grow up. Now, how do I know this? Go to Hebrews. Hebrews 5:11 is where we're going to start. As you're getting there, I want to continue to just talk about some of you in here who probably are going, whoa, this is a little too much. Jason, I've accepted Jesus, but I like this part, but I don't like that part. Okay, I like this part of Jesus, but this part, I just want to put in this little box over here, and I don't want him to look at this part of my heart at all. And just so you know, that's everybody in this room. Okay, because you have not attained it. Includes me. I can tell you from personal experience this. The areas that I really struggled with in my life, whatever that was, when I finally said, fine, God, here you go. And this is going to really hurt because you're going to be like cleaning cobwebs that are 30 years old and they're stuck and dry and they don't want to come out. When I finally did that, I'm just letting you know, there is life that you can attain to that you can only dream of in this world. It is unbelievable when you finally say, God, fine. When he reveals to you sin in your life and you say, okay, here you go, clean it out. You want me to go ask for forgiveness to 10 people I screwed over? God, that was like, 10 years ago, and they probably don't remember. You want me to go do it anyway? What? No, God, they've forgotten probably. Okay, I told you I'd hear and obey. Really? Are you sure you want me to go do that? That person really didn't like me back then anyway. Okay, well, you go to that person and humble yourself before that person. Not saying to get down on a knee like I'm doing, but you just say, you know what? I am so sorry about what happened 10 years ago. I messed up. And back then, I wasn't the person that I am now today. And I'm sorry that I did this to you. Do I need to make it right, anything right at all? And I'd ask you to forgive me. With this example I've given you, don't just think that person's going to go, oh, happy days. Yeah, you're so awesome. Thanks for... They may look right at you and give you the up yours symbol, if you will. And they may tell you, get out of here. They may also go, yeah, you know what? I forgive you, but you know that money you stole from me? I'd like it back. I want that $1,000 back. And I forgive you, but and I'll you know, if you could pay me back in $50 a month, yeah, then we can call it even. You willing to do that? Are you willing to actually do that? Because that's what Jesus is calling us to do. Things like that. I don't know. This is just coming to my mind. Maybe some of you have children that you haven't seen in years. And you're like, my son doesn't want to talk to me. I screwed up so many years ago. They don't want nothing to do with me. Please hear me and hear me loud and proud. I don't care what you've done. You are your son's or daughter's daddy or mommy. I don't know, and I cannot explain the bond that is there. I want to encourage you to pray to God to see if you should call him back. Because I know with my father, we had kind of a tough relationship for a while. And it was never that he did anything wrong. I mean, it was definitely all me. But there were times we didn't talk and stuff. But there's still that huge bond with my dad. I can't guarantee your child's going to want to talk with you. But I would say the percentage is high they want to. I just want to encourage you to build up that relationship.
Thanks for listening to Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.